Welcome to the Whole Point Podcast, all about guest conversations and our personal thoughts about big ideas that will elevate your life and change your mind.
We're talking about how to bring them into your business, your family, and your real life, and what that looks like day to day on any random Tuesday. I'm Christy Bartelt, a quirky, wise mentor helping women confidently love themselves and change their lives and their minds.
I'm Serena Talbot, and I'm passionate about helping people heal and accomplish their goals, bringing spirituality and intuition into the process so that people can move forward with the life they are created to live. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the podcast. Today, we're discussing the emotional scale and where emotions are energetically that we might be feeling. So this concept is, many people talk about it, but where we're drawing our information from is the work of David R. Hawkins, who is an author and a doctor. He wrote the book Power Versus Force and Letting Go. And we're going to use his scale as a reference point. And we have a copy of that scale available at the Whole Point Podcast website. And there'll be a link for you to open it. And I would highly encourage you to get the scale out as you listen so that you can visually follow along with us. It'll be fine if you can just listen, but really a visual is going to be super helpful. So even if you can't do it right now, we encourage you to open it later because seeing it on paper really does create a really nice framework of understanding.
And the way he measures is our energetic levels, and the lowest being 20, and we're going to start at the bottom and then go up with the emotions going all the way up to 1,000. And if you've never heard of this before, you know, we all have an energetic, we all actually have an electric charge, and then emotions have an electric charge. And everyone has experienced, like if you go into a room and someone's just had a fight and you can feel that energy, or if you go to a party and it's like really, you know, excited energy, or a funeral, you know, we can feel that. And so we're going to break it down because it's really helpful, because the lower energy states, if that's your baseline, so all of us can experience all of them, but if this is where you are most of the time, the lower energy states being at those levels for extended periods of time actually brings disease and is unhealthy. So the goal for everyone is, you know, is always to be healing and to be getting to higher energy levels. When you figure out where you are, it's really powerful. That's what Christy is saying. When you have the visual, you can kind of stick yourself on there and then know where you need to go. And as we go through the list, some of it is surprising what order it's in. And that's why we really wanted to share it as well.
So I didn't want to interrupt you, but I had the knowing that the reason we all love the electric slide is because when it says you're it's electric, boogie, woogie, woogie, the electricity of us is like, yes, we are. Yes, we are. So in case you also want to play that song when we're
is
done.
Is that why it's lasted years and years and years?
I think so. I think it's why it comes up at every single wedding.
I think some people would argue that it's way out of style.
Listen here, guys. I was born in the 70s. Okay. So we're going to start at the bottom of the scale, and then we're going to work our way up. And you'll see as we go why it is how it is. And I think you're going to probably get some really interesting understanding. So the very lowest on the scale is shame, the energy of shame. And that comes in at that low frequency of 20. And then the emotional state associated with shame is humiliation. And the life view is miserable. So as we talk about these energetic levels, when we talk about the life view, that's for somebody who is operating at this energetic frequency, this emotional frequency on a consistent basis. This is maybe more their set point of their life right now. Their entire view of life will come from, if you're in shame, this everything's miserable. That's all I see. Even if good stuff is around me, the only things I'm really kind of like latching onto and taking in are the things that match my energetic state.
And the next emotion on the list is guilt. Its energetic frequency is 30. The emotional state is blame, and the view of life is evil. So again, you're moving from miserable to evil, and maybe that's just a nuance, but think of shame to guilt. So guilt starts to be you know, blaming other people. It's evil, so you're a victim. People are hurting you. You're hurting other people. You're feeling guilty. You're blaming them when they hurt you. And that's what life looks at.
And this energy level, so if you experienced a lot of being a victim, being victimized as a child, you can often develop that emotional level of victimization, which is right around this frequency between shame, guilt, and kind of as we're going up here. But the reason it gets programmed in is because it's our potential experience of the world. And what happens is we get stuck in one experience, meaning making that the meaning for ourselves. And then that informs kind of what we gather from life around us. So you could be in this energy. It's that whole idea of sometimes you discover, oh my gosh, I've been operating out of a victim mentality, because you may be stuck in one of these emotional frequencies that show you only ways that you're being victimized or being, you know, you're blaming others or they're blaming you and you're living at this level.
Yeah. And the reason why we are at these levels, like you said, is because that's how we grew up. So it's just familiar. It's what we know. It's everyone around us was at that level of energy. And so that's what we saw people behaving as. And that's what they told us the world was, you know, when they told us about the world. And so we absorb that into us. And then that's what we behave out of. And the other thing is to know that the thing I love most about this scale is that when you stick yourself on it and you know you can move up, instead of having the behavior define you, you begin to know, okay, this is a behavior. It's not me. It's not who I am. I am not a victim. The world is not evil. I have an opportunity to view it differently, which is really powerful.
Absolutely. So up from guilt is apathy. And this is a 50 on the frequency. And the emotional state related to apathy is despair. And the view of life is hopeless. So again, hopelessness is energetically higher or lighter, not as dense as evil. It's interesting when you start kind of framing it out that way.
Yeah. Next on the list is grief. Its energetic frequency is number 75. The emotional state is regret, and the view of life is tragic. And this again is like any of us can experience grief, you know, different times and be in that. But this is if you're that way all the time, if you're kind of in a more often state of grief, regretting, you know, maybe all the things that you didn't do in your life. And it's a tragedy because it was supposed to end up this way and it didn't work out. And that's, again, higher than apathy.
And this grief, as to follow up on what Serena said, that we all experience all of these things, they're all normal. Every one of these is a normal emotional state. When we're talking about view of life, we're really talking about where's your set point of what do you always come back to. So, you know, there's the studies of people who win the lottery or have like a traumatic event happen. And for 6 months or a year, their emotional state is changed by that event, but eventually they settle back into, if they haven't made other changes, they're going to generally settle back into that original life view that was programmed into them. Like, let's say you have a joy set point of XYZ, whatever it is, or a grief set point, and that's kind of how you see the world. That doesn't mean you're condemned to that forever. Even just knowing about this scale allows you to heal upward in your actual set point or your view of life.
Yeah, like when you're saying with a lottery, if they don't know that, if they're not aware that that's their level and they don't have the awareness that they can change, that's why we see it. Is it 90%? It's like a huge percentage.
It's really big because it's not familiar.
And then goes back, like actually into
debt. Worse and generally worse. They're generally worse off because they've had this experience and then they probably fall down this emotional scale and then they stay stuck there, right? Okay, so up from grief is fear. And fear is energetically 100. Fear is associated with anxiety, and the view of life is frightening. Everything is frightening. Everything around us, scary, scary, scary. Oh my gosh. So this sounds a lot like what right now? The pandemic. So we can, even life events or life experiences outside of us can have their own emotional frequency. So the pandemic has its own frequency and it really operates in fear. And then you can see where grief plays into this, that energy just lower than it. That's why people are fluctuating among these things and then also higher out of it as well. But when you're at a level of fear, everything you take in, you're only okay, yep, that's scary. Okay, yep, that's scary. None of the stuff that actually is safety is going to sink in and resonate with you deeply because it's not what you're looking for in your life view.
And were you saying that's where you lived a while? That was a good story.
From this perspective of fear, when I was sick, which was about, I guess, 8.5 years ago now, I got really sick. And this is the set point that I lived in at that place where I was focused on all the things that were going wrong in my body, all the things that were scary in my body. So I would wake up in the morning and think, yep, I've got pain here. I'm scared. And then I would make up a whole fear-based story about what that meant and look for other evidence that supported it. I was doing a lot of things to heal, but I actually realized after I had made a ton of changes that the last and most important thing that I needed to change is I needed to actually start looking for evidence that was outside of fear, evidence that was supporting healing, that was supporting me being complete and that everything that I wanted was available to me instead of only looking for that. And then I started noticing, well, actually, this part of my body really feels good, or, you know, this feels totally different. I'm seeing this difference in my body. And as I started focusing on those things, my set point began to change.
So before your circumstances changed, your set point, your focus did.
Yeah, it was really like a switch, like a realization. Oh my gosh, the only thing because I would be on the internet all day looking for ways to cure, what's the best remedy for this? I was never looking for information that was all about being healed. It was all information about how to heal. But it was, I tell you, if you fall into that rabbit hole on the internet, it's always about how hard it is to do this and how hard it is to do that. Because a lot of those people, if they haven't yet healed or are in the middle of it, are still in the life view of frightened. And they're providing information from that place.
Yeah. The next on the list is desire, 125. So we're moving up in the world. If we are craving, the emotional state is craving, and the view of life is disappointing. And this is a really interesting one for me because a lot of times we think of, you know, visualizing and dreaming about what we want, or maybe law of attraction, and we get like, I want this, I want this, I want this. And, you know, if we're looking at a scale that goes up to 1,000, this is pretty low because it's the idea that if we want what we don't have, right, then we're disappointed. So it's different than actually getting yourself in a state of being able to receive. Those are two different things. Wanting means I don't have the thing, whatever it is, it's going to make me happy. And it's a pretty low vibration.
And desire has a place, just like all of these things do. When you're in desire, you set your sight on, okay, here's where I am now, and I want that thing. But you don't stay there in the lack of the thing. This is the invitation to be like, okay, great, I desire that, period. I'm at the level of desire. Now I want to move up the scale to the level of receiving this thing. Where is that at?
And like, you know, Abraham Hicks says, contrast brings clarity. So whenever you have one of these lower emotions, that's actually just a little signal, you know, like you're in grief, maybe you're regretting. It's a signal for you to go, okay, what do I regret? You're in the desire, like I really want this. It's like, okay, well, what do you do with that? Figure out what you want, why you want it, how to get it, and maybe to be more appreciating things that you already have. So yeah, we'll go between all of these. None of them are bad.
Yeah, I find with desire, once I realize I'm having a desire for something, it's almost like I need to make I make a list of it or say it out loud or something, and then I drop it. It's like, okay, I'm done with that. I've desired it, and now I'm moving on to just allowing it to show up, and I'll go about my business. But if you stay at the level of desire, it's like, what's that? Lord of the Rings. It's like my precious, you know?
Yeah, and the idea, again, you know, Esther Hicks, that everything we desire is because we think we're going to feel better when we get it. You know, the new car is going to make me feel amazing. The new house, the new husband, whatever it is, is going to make me feel wonderful. But when you can put your, you know, say, okay, what am I hoping this thing's going to get me? And then if you can feel better, like you did getting out of fear, if you can do the feeling better, you're moving up the scale.
Absolutely. Okay. So this one is always like a shocker, but right above desire, energetically higher than all the things we've already talked about, is anger. It comes in at 150 as an energetic frequency. The emotional state is hate, and the view of life is antagonistic. Serena and I always have this conversation. We always know someone's really healing from depression or, you know, they've come with shame-based thoughts or a lot of grief and all of a sudden they're angry and they're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what this isn't working because I'm angry now. And we're like, oh, actually, that's an excellent sign that it is working. So generally it's a transitory emotion. Anger is used as a catalyst. It's an energizing emotion, which is why it's higher on the scale. So anger is a good thing as long as you are not taking it out on another person, right? In a unhealthy way, hitting people, yelling at people, that kind of thing. Anger is an emotion to get you to take action.
I think it's the main reason I wanted to share this scale is to let people know, look, if you've been having panic attacks or like you said, been feeling like apathy or guilt or shame, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm mad at everybody. It's actually great. And you can see, you'll stick yourself on there and go, oh yeah, I'm moving up.
And once you know where anger falls, you can see what comes after it. Like what might be the next, where am I going from anger?
Where are you headed?
Yeah.
Good places. Yep. After anger is pride. And this is energetic frequency 175. The emotional state is scorn and the view of life is demanding. I think of scorn or like disgust. And every time we, you know, talk about this, look at the scale. It's like, I think a country can have that general vibration. But even then,
are you talking about America?
Yes, I am. I don't know about others, but in this, again, like you would think maybe pride should be lower, but it's good. And it's like you're saying, if anger is transitory, then if anger is this realizing all the things that I'm upset about, and I think a lot of people do this with their passion. Like a lot of times the thing that you're mad about is maybe the thing you're supposed to change in the world, where pride is like, then you start doing it externally, demanding of people, being disgusted, maybe sharing with them what you think. And it's good. It's good when you're on your way healing. So if you think about this, so pride's 175, shame is 20. If our energy level, if our energy frequency is going to determine if we're healthy or not, you know, long-term holding on to those feelings, those emotions, then this is higher and healthier.
Well, so where I can see this play out in that same reference to when I was living in fear is as I was healing and doing all this work, actually, so I started eating paleo to heal my body, and that becomes kind of a dogma, comes like a religion, like people's eating habits, like I'm a vegetarian and a vegan, whatever it is. And I had a lot of pride around that. Like, oh, don't eat that. It's bad for your body. Let me tell you why. Right. And I'm demanding of other people to see my viewpoint of the world now because I had had something help me. It was high. I felt better. I was lighter, less dense. My energy was better. So then therefore I'm so proud of myself that I need you to also do it and validate me.
Oh, that's everything, right? We learn something and we're like, why aren't you doing this too? Everybody should do this. And we just did it like 2 weeks ago. We're like, everyone should get on board. But that's good.
It is. And so it's actually nice too, because then you have a reflection of like, oh, this person is at that level right now. Like this is just an emotional state that they're in. It's not an indictment of where I'm at. This is their level that they're shining onto me. Basically, if someone's talking to you about their paleo diet and how you need to, you know, cut out grains and you're like, yeah, not leaving the bread behind. Okay. So after pride is courage. So we're starting to get into, this is right about the midpoint, just under the midpoint of the scale. So courage comes in at 200 and the emotional state is affirmation and the life view is feasible. The things we desired several levels ago, now we can see them maybe being possibilities for us. And we're way more affirming of other people. Maybe we've moved through, everyone doesn't need to be paleo, but if they ask me about it, I'll tell them, but I'm not going to just share it with them, right? I have the courage to share when needed.
I'm not demanding them to affirm me. I'm affirming myself.
Yes. Yeah.
It's interesting because this scale is colored. And so you can kind of see courage is the top of the lower emotions that, and they're like warm colors. And then we're going to move into the cool colors. But when I saw this scale, this was the one, I think courage was the one that surprised me most. I thought it would be high. I thought this, it was like a high thing to strive for, to be courageous. And it's kind of low relatively, you know, it's in the middle. So
you can see though, like taking those three together, courage, pride, and anger. And if we're talking about America, think about how those three things, like constantly play out in that idea of going to war or like having, you know, a lot of patriotism or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we talk about how brave our soldiers are, how courageous they are to fight for their country. All of these things are very close together. So you can see how you're naturally shifting within kind of variables near each other on the scale.
And really, when you're having them, you have to have an enemy. Like, you have to have something you're fighting against. And I think as we move up the scale, we're releasing that.
Mm-hmm.
Moving into the cool colors, the next thing is neutrality. So this is 250. The emotional state is trust. And the view of life is satisfactory. So I think of this with someone who's like, I just don't feel anything. And maybe like, is that bad? And it's like, no, actually, that's really awesome. They're like, I used to be angry and now I'm like not feeling anything. And it's not apathy where you don't care, but it's really this neutral, like, it's good.
Could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love neutrality as the midpoint. I really think of it as the midpoint. It's the first one above the middle. And to me, it's like, relaxing. Like, whew, like we're really feeling better now.
Yeah. Like if you've stopped fighting, right? If you don't have something to fight against, it's like the white flag. And satisfactory, viewing life. So think about that. You go from viewing life as evil, hopeless, tragic, frightening, disappointing to satisfactory.
Like, that's a huge jump.
What I need will be satisfied. That's really powerful, especially for healing of people whose needs haven't been met, or, you know, we grew up in poverty or situations like this. Like, this trust that what everything is working out for me, what I need in life is going to be taken care of. That's huge.
It is. And we'll start to notice that as we go up here, we're jumping bigger. I guess towards the top, we're jumping bigger numbers, but we're already 230 energetic points above where we started. And at this place, you're feeling so much lighter and more free.
Yeah, I think of, you know, we think about all the time in the healing process is like being triggered. And in the neutrality, that means, you know, somebody's behaving this way or they're doing that, they're eating gluten or, you know, they're doing whatever and it doesn't bother you at all.
Yeah.
You're neutral. And that doesn't mean, again, as we talk about this, we experience all the things and we may get triggered, but we're able to resolve it. You know,
it's where you return to when, yeah, at the end of the day, this is kind of the state you end up at, even if you've bounced around in these emotions all day. Hey guys, we're so excited that you listen to the podcast and we want to reach even more people. We need your help. Can you review our podcast? Let us know what you love about The Whole Point. Tell us what takeaways you've experienced, what knowledge that you've really appreciated, and what kind of guests that you love listening to. And in exchange, we're giving away an intuition session.
We have recently started offering intuition sessions to anyone who's interested in having Christy and I both hold space while you ask the really big questions in your life and get the exact answers that you need to move your life forward in the direction you want to go, or get those burning questions maybe that keep you up at night answered in a peaceful way that nobody else in the whole world knows except you, and learning that self-trust that you have the answers and that you actually know how to tap into that.
So what we'd like you to do is review the podcast. When you've done that, send us a direct message. Screenshot your review, send it to us, and you'll be entered to win a 2-hour intuition session hosted by Christy and Serena, a $222 value just for helping us by reviewing and telling us what you love about the podcast. We can't wait to hear what you have to say. So after neutrality, we go to willingness, which is a 310 on the scale. It's emotional state of optimism, which I love that word, optimism. A view of life is hopeful. I love this because I really feel I can nail down when I started feeling optimistic, half full versus half empty in my life. I spent decades feeling low, like living as my set point low on the scale. And that doesn't mean I was fine to be around. I had friends. I was enjoyable. But my actual state underneath everything was pessimism. So once I got to optimism, it was like, oh my gosh, this is a different life. It is a different life.
It's a different life. And I love that this scale lists that. They list how you view life. Because a person, they're looking at the same exact circumstances. And someone that's in guilt and shame is seeing it as miserable and evil. And someone that's in neutrality and willingness is seeing it as hopeful and satisfactory. A funny story with me is way in the beginning of when I started to heal after I was burned out was I read a book and I took a quiz about how optimistic I was. And I'm like, oh, I'm pretty optimistic. I think so. And I took the test. It's from a book called Learned Optimism. And it was like, you're on the verge of depression. Like that's where I rated on the scale because I had a lot of blame. Like, I think I probably lived at guilt where I blamed myself for everything. And what the book says was that view of life. Something happens in life that's bad, and you say, oh, yeah, that's probably my fault. You know, I did that, or I did something that made that happen. Something is good. Oh, that's a freak accident. And when you get up to this neutrality and this willingness, something bad happens and you go, oh, things will get better. It wasn't my fault. Something good happens and you're like, yeah, I've been doing this and this, and you know, I can see how it's working. It's literally the opposite viewpoint. And this book was all about learning optimism because we can learn it and you can move up the scale. And I did. So
that's so you can too.
I'm so grateful. If I can, anybody can. I did. I used to just feel guilty all the time and like I was gonna hurt people. That idea of blaming and then people are going to hurt me and I'm going to hurt them. Not fun.
Mm-mm.
And I got physical symptoms. I was getting ulcers and not
why
fun.
Why do we think I was sick, people?
All right. Next on the list is acceptance, 350. And the emotional state is forgiveness. And the view of life is harmonious. And this one to me is kind of not looking down the scale in a bad way, but observing people at lower energy levels. I mean, not looking down on them like you're better than them, but observing people in lower energy levels and understanding that used to be you, so there's no judgment, and understanding where they are, that they may be moving up or wherever they are. So you're forgiving yourself, I think, is number one, and then forgiving other people. And what does it bring when you forgive? Harmony. Like, you're okay, I'm okay, things are going to work out.
This one is really, the way I frame it is, their behavior isn't about me. I'm willing to accept their behavior and forgive them because I know where they are. Like, it's just really a state of acceptance. So from acceptance, we go to reason. And reason is 400 on the scale. The emotional view is understanding. So you can see how this comes in to even what I was just saying. And then view of life is meaningful. Viktor Frankl. I mean, you spoke about him
our
in the
friend.
Yeah, our
my
friend.
Friend. When I read a book, like, they're my friends. So you guys all might think I'm crazy, but I would have loved to have met him.
So Serena's friend, Viktor Frankl, this is where he operated. This was his set point and what he understood needed to be his set point to not sink, basically, in his experiences.
Yeah, and it became his whole logotherapy that he created after being, so Viktor Frankl was in World War II. He was in 4 concentration camps, and he wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning and then made logotherapy, which was all about finding meaning in our circumstances, even if they're World War II in a concentration camp, even if they're being abused when you were little. And so I think of this like, okay, so let's say my parent abused me. So I've moved up from acceptance, the one before, and in that I forgave, and now I can find the meaning. Now I can be like, you know, for me and my own self, the things I've been through when I was younger that I wouldn't wish on anybody, but I can find meaning in them. It makes me more compassionate. It makes me a better therapist. It makes me a better human. It makes me able to sit with people in those situations and be fine, you know, and comfortable and able to have faith that they're going to get better and finding the meaning in it. And he said that was the main way to heal. I mean, as a therapist for him.
Understanding is an interesting thing because as I was healed and I had forgiveness for my past. And part of my past story is having been raised in a really conservative religion. And I had always thought, oh, my dad must have done that as like a parenting out. Like he could put me in the church that I belong to, and then I wouldn't sleep with people or drink or do drugs or whatever, right? Like as the co-parent for him. And that was I had forgiven him for that. But actually then one day it struck me. I was like, oh my gosh, that religion that I grew up in was the culture of where I lived. It wasn't about co-parenting. The understanding was I would have been the other. I would have been an outcast if I hadn't belonged there. So instead of having, he sacrificed his knowledge of what he thought was right and wrong and allowed me to belong. And it was this understanding of a deeper level of what my dad was about in my life. And I was just like, one day it hit me and I'm like, oh my God. And the forgiveness changed to this really meaningful, almost like heartfelt space of the same memory and experience in my life. So I like when you have this where something shifts from harmony of it or forgiveness of it to meaning, it really is a resonant energy in your body. And you've jumped 50 points on the energetic scale at that point.
And I think the idea that if I was in the same place as them, I would have done the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like I get where they were coming from.
Yeah.
And Viktor Frankl talked about that too, you know, because you have these, I mean, we all villainize Hitler's SS soldiers. And it's like, well, if you were given the option to live or hurt someone else, you most likely would choose to hurt someone else too. Or if your family was going to get hurt, or if it was about food. I mean, if they didn't participate, they didn't eat, which means you don't live, you know? So it was that understanding that even when people do things that are hurtful, there it's reason. That's the level of reason. Mm-hmm. And the next level, which I always thought would be the top level, or what, you know, second to top maybe, is love. So love's at 500. The emotional state is reverence, and the view of life is benign, which I think we need a more lovely name than benign.
I know, but I see this as
but it's so appropriate.
It is appropriate because, you know, you think about you go in, you've got a mass of some sort, and it's either going to be malignant or it's going to be benign. It's going to be totally fine and not anything that you need to worry about. Like it's just okay.
I think you could say ease.
Maybe.
I mean, benign is appropriate, but I want to add words.
Well, it's interesting because you do. You're like, hate that word. Kick it out. With my kids, when they do things that are less than desirable, but I'm coming from a place of love with them, I see their actions as benign.
It's not so bad.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
And it's not just understanding. It's not I'm making meaning of it. It's literally like it means it's okay. It's love. It has no malignancy to it.
Yeah. And what do you think about the emotional state of reverence? So that's appreciation, gratitude.
I think it's like seeing a flower. Yeah. It's like nature, where you walk into nature and it doesn't need to be perfect. It's just so beautiful. And have you ever had that feeling where something just
feels when we love someone
magical?
Yeah. And we're not looking at their flaws.
Right.
They're benign.
The toothpaste all over my bathroom is totally benign and has no issues.
Or like our husbands, you know, when we met them and the things that we were just in awe of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Love is blind. Love is benign and blind. It's all the B words. So from there, we go to joy. And so joy comes in at 540. The emotional state is serenity, and the view of life is complete. It's not just benign now, it's complete. I have everything I could ever need, want, desire, everything. It's complete. It's all right here. It's in me. It's this joy I feel in this moment.
And I think of this, like with God, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. You know, this is that. And you know what's funny, Christy? I feel different. Do you think just talking about it?
Yeah, totally.
Do you feel different?
Even the words carry their own
the
energy.
The words have it. And do you know what a rose is? Is a rose 500? Like Shakespeare said, I think that's a thing. We'll have to
I don't know.
Like a rose by any other name would smell as sweet because it like resonates, right? We use it for love. I wonder if it's high. I don't know what it is, though. Who are the people who go around with the instruments?
Love has got to be. A rose has to be love. 500 would make sense. It's reverence. Like when I smell that smell of a rose, like that, I have reverence for nature.
I wonder what, my favorite flower is sunflower, so I wonder what they are. But really.
They're not benign. They sound a bit satisfactory to me.
Do peace lilies vibrate at peace? These are things I want to know. Like, I want the instrument that measures.
Next podcast, we're taking flowers on a journey.
Can you imagine like going to your friend, like this is what you're vibrating at? I'd be so mad if somebody did.
Really? I would love it. It's that idea that you can go and have like your aura photographed or like people. Right. So one thing about my dad, and I'm sure he would be fine with me sharing this, is he can see like colors around people, like their aura. And so he's always like, oh, he'll meet my friends. He's very charming. He'll meet my friends and be like, you have such a beautiful color around you. Like, and he'll read their energy, but he's reading their emotional frequency, right? He's reading that.
So fascinating. Okay. Tangent. But so there's a scientific term for people who can see music in color. Like my husband sees music in color and there's a name for it. I don't know what it is, but think about it. If music is a frequency,
something like that.
If music is a frequency and we have a frequency, that totally makes sense.
Because
to be honest, I thought aura photos kind of, you know.
Dude, I'm all about those. It. Bring it on. More aura photos.
I was like, yeah, if that makes you feel better.
Like, at the point
it's
where
a thing.
If
you can tell me there's science, I'm in. I'll believe anything if you can tell me. But that was just like that makes sense to me. If music is at a frequency, right? And light are waves, right? Frequency waves. It's not crazy. That's got to be kind of fun to see that, though, with people.
I don't know.
Judge of character? He's like, no, that dude's brownish orange. We are.
I think
not
it might affect
friends.
His ability to accept people. But you know, my dad went through Vietnam, so if this is something he's always kind of like felt or seen, think about being in war and being able to see the frequency of people. You know, I think it could be a real hard gift if you didn't have a guide.
Yeah.
So that right there, what I just said, resonates way down on the scale. But it's true. I mean, this is the idea. Like everything has a high and a low expression. So it's really wonderful. Like when he's in your driveway and he's meeting you and he's like, wow, your aura. But I'm sure for him, it probably comes into places where he's like, this is icky, or he feels that it matches him and then he can see their colors and then he thinks he can see his own. I'm not sure. I haven't ever asked him about it, but...
That's a whole nother
podcast about emotional frequency, flowers, auras. It's all coming together. Okay. So
next on the list is peace. This is 600 and the emotional state is bliss and the view of life is perfect. So to me, this would be like some kind of a, you know, monk type person who's in it all the time. Like I love it. I'm in it, you know, certain times, but I wouldn't say my view of life is always perfect or that I'm blissed out.
Well, and I also like see this word perfect as it's perfect, even if it's painful.
As it should be. Everything. Yeah. It's a reconciliation with all the things, right? The evil, the hopelessness, tragic. It's calling all of those perfect. Mm-hmm. It's not conditional. It's not perfect if everything goes my way, because that would be demanding.
This is why, you know, a lot of times people say they're way down at like apathy and they just want peace. And it's like, be prepared. There is a whole gamut of things between you and peace.
Let's shoot for anger.
Feel an experience. And it's not to not shoot your sights high, but it is to understand that there's things in between that are higher frequency that you're going to experience. And you need to celebrate those too.
Yeah, and being able to just the awareness. I mean, obviously us just talking about it, but when you can look at this and kind of be curious, not judging yourself and sticking yourself somewhere, then you can know that as you automatically, so you're going to automatically move through these as you heal, and that's what can be confusing for people or make them think they're not making progress. But if you can actually go, oh, I see, like this is where I'm at, it's really encouraging. And yeah, going from I think going from a low to high is, I think, impossible, but it could be really discouraging.
You mean like immediately impossible to jump from apathy to peace?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your little brain would be shocked.
I think it would be hard to.
Don't they have like, you get enlightened, but don't they like,
well, there's a, generally a lot of, right. Then they're like retreat into the mountains. They're like, I can't take it right now. It's burnout, right? It's like, by the way, you need to level up and you've been stuck somewhere. So we're going to create that healing for you. So the top of the scale, it's between 700 and 1,000. So it has its 300 points as its own level is enlightenment. So this emotional state is ineffable. And the view of life is, which is such a powerful word, it just is. It's like the completion. It's all things. It feels very universal to me. That enlightened energy is like, it just is. And now you're all enlightened because you've been taken up the scale. So here we are together at the top. This is an interesting
one. There's your homework.
I know.
You've got 50 years to complete it.
I don't know that the place in my life right now that I'm necessarily aiming for ineffable. Okay, so ineffable means too great or extreme to be expressed or described in words.
Yeah.
This is why it's hard to describe what enlightenment is.
Yeah, it sounds like one with God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from my Christian-y background, but that doesn't sound good. Ineffable sounds better.
It's also just as mysterious. You're like, I don't even know what the word ineffable means.
What does
just
it
like
mean?
You can't express it.
It's this question. It's like, do I really want it? I'm not sure, you know?
Like, I'm sure it's lovely, but it sounds hard to relate to.
And what you said that's so powerful is like, I want all the other emotions, you know, like we don't want to be in pain, but the idea like we're a human, we're a spiritual entity having a human experience is like we signed up for the whole deal.
The whole gamut. Like I want to feel all the feelings, but I want to feel all the feelings, but I want my set point to resonate very high on the energetic scale so that when I'm done feeling the feeling and allowing it as sensations in my body and an experience that I'm having, that I set back to a high frequency.
Yeah, it's not like a masochistic, like I love pain, but there's the contrast, you know, sadness makes you appreciate joy more. I mean, I think we're all in that place right now with, you know, COVID-19, coronavirus, whatever. It's made us, right? When bad things happen, you appreciate and you focus on and you get your priorities straight really fast. And I think that's what we're doing. Like what matters in life? And how do you find out what matters in life? Is there some level of pain to focus you? And it's something people are appreciating, like the reset, the pause, everything, you know, everybody's calling it that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. So another point, we've taken this all through our view of life and understanding, but we also want to spin this and say the inputs you're giving yourself also have a frequency to them. The music you're listening mm-hmm. to, the books you're reading, the people that you're around, they have a frequency. And generally, energy is always trying to come to a level. So in the house, I mean, I think there's that famous saying, like, mom dictates the energy of the house. Like, everybody's
mom
kind
ain't
of...
ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
There you go. Exactly. You said it much more specifically than me. But it's true, actually. It actually happens here at my house. Like if my energy is off, everybody seems to kind of come to that. So if I can improve my mood by listening to positive music or surrounding myself with positive people or knowing when I need to be poured into and actually going and getting that to happen, I allow the other people to rise to meet me. And that's what we always want to be aware of. We shouldn't be dipping our energy to meet somebody else at a lower state. We should be maintaining our energy and then giving them that set point to rise and meet us at that occasion, basically. I had to learn this when I began doing RTT, that I didn't need to go down and meet somebody in depression and commiserate with them. I needed to actually show them what it was like to experience a different energetic state, right? They need that example as an expander or something that opens them up to the possibility of something different than they're experiencing.
Yeah. And then once you kind of get a taste for it, you can make it familiar. And for me, it's watching other people too, watching people's behavior when they have abundance, or watching people or reading about people, you know, like Viktor Frankl, like how they experience traumatic events. And once you see someone behave at a higher frequency, then you see how it's done too. And you can copy and figure out what that looks like and feels like for you.
So as you do this, you know, we're going to give a caveat. You're not in charge of changing anybody else's energetic frequency. Just delete that from your mind.
Or measuring them and telling what they are.
Nope. Don't do that either.
Don't.
Terrible plan.
If we can buy the instrument.
Don't walk around doing it. Unless they're paying you, they're coming to you for it. So what you can do though, is be in charge of your own energy. What are the inputs? How does this make me feel? When I do this thing, when I go on Twitter, when I watch the news, when I, you know, spend time with this particular friend, where is my energy at during and after? And then start deciding, I want to spend more time doing that and less time doing that because it's affecting my energy. And this is how you filter out and begin to change your set point. So if you're at a place on the scale where you're trying to move up, you need to look at the inputs that are coming into your life that are also matching that level and start discarding those and looking for higher energetic experiences.
That could be news outlets, and that can also be people. You may have to limit how much time you're spending with people, or you may find yourself, again, this can happen automatically. So automatically you start to heal, you start to be happier. Maybe you had a bunch of friends you used to just all commiserate with, and now you're happy and they don't want to hang out with you anymore. So you can understand maybe why that's happening too.
Because they're uncomfortable. Common. It's not familiar. If you're it's in a different resonating. Emotional state, you're like, don't even want to talk about those things anymore. And they're like, oh, you know, their energy is going to be at that maybe different level. And then you can, hopefully you're at understanding and you're making meaning from it, or at least aiming for that. Because when we can make meaning and not take other people's energy personally, you really, really have control over your own state at that point.
Yeah, my friendships have improved where I've had people that I knew, like they were kind of floating around me, you know, but we never became friends. And then after I started healing, they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we were never friends. And I've said to them, we couldn't have been. Yeah. I wasn't a good friend.
You're like, I actually hated you at that point. Like your energy was really repellent.
But it was almost like I didn't even notice. Like, yep. The idea of being friends wasn't even, like, I didn't hate them, but like we never crossed paths. It's fascinating how.
Well, when your view of life doesn't match, you don't see them.
Yeah.
So we hope this, well, we know it was helpful. It's absolutely helpful. If you haven't yet looked at the scale, go and grab it, take a look at it, figure out where your current set point is, have some fun, look back, like get some 2020 hindsight. Where have you been in the past? That's always an interesting perspective. And then set yourself some homework to just start checking in with the frequency of what the inputs you're giving yourself are giving you. Are they changing you into a higher energetic state or a lower, so you can begin selectively cultivating exactly the energy that you want? Thank you for listening, and please go on social media. Let us know what you found helpful, what you found really interesting, and maybe where your energetic frequency is or what you're calling into your life to change it. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends. Leave us a review, subscribe so more people can find us.
And if you want more information about me or Christy, there's a link to both of our websites in the show notes. And we'll see you next time.